Hey, you, driving this car, you ever text and drive? Come on, be honest. I bet some of you are doing it now. Just a peek or a quick on my way. It's not hurting anybody, right? Wrong. You know it's dangerous. That's why cops are cracking down and writing tickets. So stop being stupid and stop texting while driving. End of conversation. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Log Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, the hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
It is Radio PI back here on the Radio PI Podcast Network and the Pens Initiative and Pittsburgh Sports Initiative airwaves. I am your host, Mike Osti, and the Pittsburgh Penguins on the heels of a 4-3 thrilling semi-playoff atmosphere in which the Penguins blew a lead, Capitals tied it, and the Pittsburgh Penguins end up with the victory nonetheless in overtime on a wicked game winner from Sidney Crosby. I'll use wicked for the Canadian fans out there. Sidney Crosby keeps entertaining and keeps on sucking up the misery that could be the Washington Capitals, or at least him versus Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. So the Penguins get a 4-3 win in overtime over the Caps. That gives the Pittsburgh Penguins home ice in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We all know the Caps already got the President's Trophy as they're hanging another banner for the most points in the regular season and the President's Trophy in the NHL. But will that lead to their first ever Stanley Cup? I don't know. They're the prohibited favorite in the Eastern Conference. You would still have to give them that dap, despite the Penguins' victory over them. They are loaded all the way through. Ovechkin having another great year offensively. They have a stellar defense. They have maybe the best goalie in the league who's going for a wins record. They have a power play. They can do it shorthanded. They can do everything for you. They get all the check marks that you could ask for. However, they have a history of disappointing and underachieving in the playoffs. So Ovechkin's never been to the conference finals. Only Marceau Dion has more goals in his career than Ovechkin in terms of a player of legendary stature that's not even been to a conference finals, let alone a Stanley Cup final. However, the Pittsburgh Penguins are also now becoming one of those favorites. With the offensive surge they've been on, even with Evgeny Malkin's absence, this Penguin team has been riding high. They've become a prohibited favorite in the Eastern Conference, and they're a team that many feel is incredibly dangerous, and besides the Caps, might be the team coming out of that Eastern Conference, depending on how things shake out. I'm going to bring on my guest of the day, though, as he's going to give us his insight, and we're going to talk about how dangerous the Penguins really can be, how different they've been now with Mike Sullivan as the head coach, and if Evgeny Malkin's return could be a negative. Now, that sounds asinine out of my mouth, but there are some fans who believe that, so we're going to get our guest to touch on it. We will bring in Dan Kingerski of PittsburghPostgame.com onto the Pens Initiative and Radio PI hotline. Dan, how are you doing, first of all? And also, I know I didn't go to your birthday shindig a couple weeks back. So since I already gave you a birthday through social media and didn't give it to you in person, I will give you one on the air. Happy birthday, and how is the number 40 treating you?
You know, I try not to think about it. How's that? I don't feel 40 whatsoever. You know, 40 used to be old. Now I feel not so old. But you weren't missed. Don't worry.
Oh, really? I always bring the entertainment. That's shocking. I'm sure everyone asks, where's Mike? Where's Mike? Yeah, so you don't like to talk about and think of 40, so I guess I should apologize right off the bat now since I made you think of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess I'm still, you know, almost Matt Cullen's age. We'll look at it that way.
Okay. So I need to keep people like you around in my life, though, and in the networking circle to make me feel young. I still luckily have a 2 in front of the number, but a year from now I won't anymore, and I will be quite depressed about that. Speaking now with Dan Kangurski of PittsburghPostgame.com. Dan, this Penguin team has been on this surge of sorts in the last month or so, especially offensively. They're finally playing with the style the roster dictates with so many stars on this team. So Kessel has also turned it around, and they're coming off that 4-3 win over the Capitals, so they're beating some quality teams in the mix. In your eyes, now they have home ice in the first round, how truly dangerous are they? Is the jubilation and the optimistic motion of these Penguin fans that this team could legitimately win the Cup when months before they weren't even sure they're going to make the playoffs, is that valid? Have they truly become a prohibited favorite in the Eastern Conference with this offensive burst?
Yeah, I really think they have. When you line up the teams in the Eastern Conference, you know, I was saying a month and 2 months ago, the East was wide open. Well, you've got Washington. We know how good they are. This last month, notwithstanding, only because they had space. They didn't have to play hard every night, and it's just human nature with nothing to play for. You're not going to roll out to the nines. Florida has turned it on lately, but Roberto Luongo has scuffled a bit. Al Montoya is not a guy who's going to ride you to the Stanley Cup. Trocheck, with the broken ankle, obviously, really hurts Florida. So they're a division winner, but I don't even put them in the same class as Pittsburgh and Washington. Tampa without Stamkos. Detroit and Boston are barely scratching into the playoffs if one of those teams does, you know, miss it, in fact. Philadelphia, we've seen how the Penguins have handled them over the last couple months. So it does come down really to those two teams, Washington and Pittsburgh. And assuming the Penguins get to that second round, whoever wins the Metro Division probably wins the East.
If the Penguins falter in the playoffs, what do you think would be the reason? What do you think would be the X factor negatively? Because it's been so positive in the coverage and everyone about the Penguins recently with how many goals they're scoring per game, but they still have a recent history of faltering in the playoffs. And do you have any concern that the offensive players and Crosby and Kessel and these guys playing so well now may not carry over in the postseason? Because the recent playoff failures, those stars haven't really got the job done in the playoffs, even though there might be other reasons you could also point to.
Well, those answers actually kind of all tie together. If the Penguins do suffer an ignominious defeat here in the playoffs,
I love that word.
Thank you. It will be in part because the secondary scoring didn't come through. I mean, don't forget now, we're going to hit the reset button on the NHL season. What happened in the first 82 games, or even in the last 20 games, doesn't necessarily translate to the next 20 games. There's going to be a week in between for the Penguins between competitive contests. They've got Philly on Saturday, but for the Penguins, that's not a competitive game. It'll be what they choose to make of it. They're going to start the playoffs next Wednesday or Thursday. And in that week, whatever hot streak you're on, whatever run a certain player is on, generally fades away, and the playoffs is about what is, what's real, what's, you know, the reality of the situations and teams. That's why you rarely see a Cinderella run through the NHL playoffs like L.A. did their first Stanley Cup when they scraped in as an eighth seed. So if what goes wrong and in that cooling period, if Kunackle and Cullen and Sheary and those guys don't start putting the puck in the net in the playoffs, and Crosby and Hornqvist realize they have to do it all themselves, and they start gripping the stick tightly like they've done for the past handful of years, realizing
right,
it's on that first line, it's, you know, Crosby or bust. That would be where this Penguins team could jump the tracks.
Now looking at the entire Eastern Conference, though, it's clear to me the Penguins are one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference just because they played so well against Washington. Washington obviously is a favorite as well. They won the President's Trophy, but they have a recent history, if not overall history, of disappointing in the playoffs. And besides them, you already touched on it, there's no other team to me that screams a team that really could win the conference, or if they do, wouldn't be a huge surprise. I mean, like an 8-seeded Kings, although that Kings team was so talented and some felt they underachieved in the regular season. Do matchups for the Penguins matter at all, or is it simply, unlike in recent postseasons, if they play their A game, if they play like they've been the last month and a half, if Crosby plays well, if Kessel gives what he's been giving, if Malkin returns, if Letang plays well, and they get something out of the goaltending, et cetera, that they really should be able to go through this conference, even the Capitals.
Yeah, with the Islanders being so ridiculously banged up, there's not a matchup that is a negative for the Penguins. I think they're even money with the Washington Capitals, although keep this in mind as well. The Capitals will have to get through round one. If they do, they will be rolling by that point. They'll be back into that groove. So the Penguins will be seeing the best Capitals team in the second round. Otherwise, no, I don't think Boston or Detroit or Philadelphia, anybody can really hang with the Penguins. Other teams might bring some physicality, but not the same scoring, or they've got some scoring, but not the speed. No team is putting it together quite in the same with the same proficiency as the Penguins.
You really almost got to say that if the Penguins Capitals would meet in the second round and we get Ovechkin versus Crosby part two finally, the Capitals, as you said, would be playing their best because they would get through a potentially tough first round. The Capitals almost feel like a team to me that if they're either going to lose early and it's going to be a shocking upset, or they really, maybe this finally will be the year to at least get to a conference finals or beyond, and the Penguins playing so well. Does that Penguins-Capitals potential second-round series, if we see that, knowing what will have to happen to get to that, classify to you as the de facto Eastern Conference finals?
It does. Very much does. Like I said, the winner of that series most likely wins the Eastern Conference just because the Atlantic is a step behind. You know, if any one of those Atlantic teams had to be in the Metro Division, I don't know that they would be in a top three seed. They would have gotten beat up pretty handily with the exception of Florida. So, you know, yeah, we're going to find out exactly how good Washington is. I think Philadelphia actually squeaks into the playoffs over Boston, but I'm not willing to bet on that. Either one, Boston or Philadelphia, is going to come in hot against the Capitals. They're going to come in physical, and the Capitals are going to have to turn it on. And that's going to take a little bit. So one of those teams might get to the Capitals. And if that happens, boy, then the Penguins kind of have a yellow brick road to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, then, though, you to give you the glass half empty, then, though, you're going to have the Yinzers and some of the Penguin fans, if they don't get to at least beyond the second round or at least having a decent showing in the conference finals, then they're going to say they were favored in every matchup, and how could you not get it done? So it's almost going to add more pressure to the Penguins. I feel like the Capitals would probably be the only team the fan base would be okay with losing. Not that they want to lose to them, but they're going to feel like the Penguins are better than every other team, and probably even the Capitals, based on what we've seen here just yesterday. So that's the only way to paint this in the negative light that I tend to do. Is there any validity at all, or is it just completely asinine, like I like to say, that Evgeny Malkin's return could be a negative to this team with how well they're playing right now without him?
Yeah, that would be an asinine statement to say that.
Okay.
Don't forget, Malkin was playing between Hagelin and Kessel and doing so exceptionally well. That line had its impetus and its spark with Malkin in the middle, not with Bonino. Bonino took a few games, actually, to get acclimated and to realize he can't skate with those guys, just hand them the puck and chase them up the ice. Malkin orchestrated that line in a really effective manner. So no, if Malkin comes back, it's in no way a negative. The locker room loves him. He's a leader in the locker room. Whether he plays on a third line with Kunackle and Rust, or if they put him with Fair and Sheary, or whatever they decide to do for Malkin when he does come back, it will be nothing but a positive for the Penguins.
You'd be surprised, Dan, though. I had to ask. I wanted to get you to say it was asinine because the tweets and the comments we get at the website are not friendly to Malkin in terms of his return. I feel like they're going to blame him if the Penguins lose in a round and Malkin comes back and doesn't throw a hat trick out there every night.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. For a lot of Yinzers, if it doesn't have three little stars and a yellow stripe on the helmet, what do you want me to say here?
I wanted you to say that it was asinine.
It would be asinine.
I wanted you to say that it was asinine. I'm even going to use that snippet, so thank you. Separate from the Eastern Conference, we already look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference. Who in the West do you feel is the legitimate favorite? Everyone can lazily point to the Blackhawks because they have the recent dynasty and they have a stacked roster when healthy. But you also look to the West. As much as the East was wide open most of this season, the West really screams being wide open. There doesn't seem any team from the West that scares you either. That also could lead you to believe that if the Penguins or really the Capitals or even other teams get to the Cup Final, they might be able to take down the West finally, and the East might finally crawl into reclaiming the NHL that's been so owned by the Western Conference over the past 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, the West is interesting because the two strongest teams right now have such a track record of playoff failure, the St. Louis Blues and the Anaheim Ducks. Mm-hmm. I know the Ducks have lost Perron for a bit, but they were so good in the second half. But they failed. I mean, they had L.A. down 3-0 and gave it up,
the
past.
So, yeah.
Exactly. And St. Louis has been a better team than Chicago for several years running and not gotten it done. So, those are really the two big X factors. I can't see Chicago repeating. That's so much hockey. And their defense is really down to 2.5 guys, maybe 3 guys at this point. San Jose can surprise some people. L.A., though, if you're taking safe bets, I think, L.A. is the safe bet because they are just so big and heavy, and they've got enough talent there to get through. And Jonathan Quick is maybe the best big-money goaltender in the game today. So, yeah, if you want to protect your bet a little bit, drop a couple nickels on the Kings too.
Okay, so that is the Vegas odds prediction there from Dan Kingurski. The Kings always are that safe bet, of course. They've done it before, and they're so big, and they play the quote unquote playoff style hockey, which is why they were able to go as an 8 seed. Why they won another cup after that. The Blackhawks have the stacked roster, but as you said, they have all this playoff hockey and overall hockey recently that the Kings got a year break from. Basically, through that, though, when you bring up playoff failures, the St. Louis Blues have been failing in the playoffs since I've been alive, basically, and they've had some better teams. In the 90s, they never could beat Detroit, despite sometimes, even the year 2000, having a President's Trophy team. And then they never can beat the Blackhawks. And once again, it's looking like they're going to play the Blackhawks. They never can beat them, no matter what. It was comical. I believe it was a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, the last game of the season, if they won it, they would have avoided the Blackhawks and they couldn't win. Detroit beat them, and they end up having to play the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks beat them in 5 games or so. It always happens to the Blues, but then you bring up San Jose. They also have kind of the Washington Capitals stigma of underachieving in the postseason. Postseason, to me, in both conferences, seems more wide open than ever before, and if the Capitals or Penguins would get upset before or not reach the Stanley Cup playoffs, say one of the two of them gets upset before the conference finals, even both of them somehow are out, it's going to be interesting, but I don't want to use the word boring because it'll still be entertaining and fun to watch for hockey guys, but the casual fan may not be as interested, and you might not get a really strong team as the champion. It might be one of those New York Giants Super Bowl 9-7 type seasons. It's almost what the potential for because you have such a wide-open spread in both conferences.
I don't know. I don't know that the Penguins have captured national attention just yet. They're starting
so.
To with
okay.
this eight with this 8 game win streak. I mean, look, I kept getting asked. Every radio outlet was asking me, and people kept asking me, "Are the Penguins the team to beat? Are they one that no one wants to play?" And the reality is, because they're missing Malkin and because they're missing Mata, the win streak was always taken with a grain of salt. So the national consciousness, let's call it, hasn't yet completely grabbed on to the Penguins. The Penguins are going to have to be dominant in the playoffs now before everyone says, oh, okay, they're for real. There's still a little bit of doubt on the Penguins. So if they didn't make it to the Cup Finals or if the Capitals didn't, I don't think the hockey universe is going to say, well, it's a subpar Stanley Cup Final. No, I wouldn't go there.
All right. I won't make you go there then. You don't think the national consciousness is waking up a bit on the Penguins, though, with the way they beat the Capitals in terms that they held on to a lead even though they relinquished it? They were able to win in overtime, and Crosby got the game winner the way he did?
Oh, sure. I mean, the Penguins are climbing people's power rankings, and people are starting to take notice. But if you're asking me if there's a lot of bandwagon action on the Penguins, I don't think so, at least not as much as, you know, a team that's won, 14 of 15 games coming into the playoffs. You know, that bandwagon should be overflowing. And I think outside of Pittsburgh, that's not necessarily the case yet. So, you know, I don't see hockey fans turning off the TV because the Pens or Caps didn't win the East.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you enjoy the beautiful, chilly, used-to-be snow day we got here in April in a minute. I just want to ask you, though, for you, Chris Letang Norris Trophy, is that your vote? Do you think he didn't get it, and is his overall points going to give it to you? Where are you and Chris Letang in the Norris Trophy?
Well, Chris Letang should certainly be nominated. Here's what's going to happen, and I guess my opinion doesn't matter as much. Because Drew Doughty hasn't yet won it, there is this tremendous groundswell and gathering to finally give him one. The Senators missing the playoffs effectively nullifies Carlson's bid for it, but he'll still be nominated because a defenseman getting a point per game is just insane and silly in this day and age. So Letang will get nominated. If I were part of the Hockey Writers Association, of which I'm not, I would actually cast my ballot for Letang. But, yeah, take it to the bank. Doughty has this locked up.
Oh, yeah, there's a difference. Every time people ask me what would I do, I think of it that way, too. It's hard not to think what the voters are going to do when I get asked who's going to make a Hall of Fame. I already know who's going to get it, but then I can give my opinion, which is usually different than what the actual result is going to be. But, yeah, you know what's going to happen. I agree with you there, Doughty will probably get it. And it's hard to say that a Career Achievement Award is not earned by him. I wish it could go each individual season, but unfortunately probably not. I'm glad you gave your opinion, though, because I was asking you. Dan Kangurski probably should have a vote someday. So I got your vote. We'll put that in the record.
Well, let's see if I keep this writing stuff up. I might get one or if I head back into the broadcasting realm.
All right, Dan. Well, tell the people and the yinzers and buffoons, you can tell them as well because you know they're going to come with them, where they can find you on Twitter, where the website is, anything else you're doing.
Well, yeah, of course, you can always find me at Bud Moonshine on Twitter. PittsburghPostgame.com is the website. We'll be doing some post-game hockey shows with a very special guest or two here in the playoffs as well. I guess plus I'll be in New York, too, for the first round, so that's going to be expensive.
That'll be expensive, but enjoy the pizza. And I noticed that cough on the guests, so we're definitely going to anticipate who will be on with you there. And I've wondered this. I never asked you anytime we've been out drinking some bourbon at different bars around Pittsburgh. At Bud Moonshine, what is the purpose? Where did that come from?
Oh, I guess I haven't told the story in some time. About 4 years ago now, I was at Jamboree in the Hills, which is this dirty country festival kind of in the hills between West Virginia and Ohio.
Yep.
I hate country music. I apologize if, you know, anyone does love it. So I would sit at the campground and just drink all night while they went to the country shows. But so we're sitting there. I'm between radio jobs. My Sportsnet gig had just ended because of the NHL lockout. And so I needed a new Twitter handle to tweet out some free agent news or something. And someone said, quick, what are the last two things you drank? Well, being in the hills of West Virginia, I both had a jar of West Virginia bathtub moonshine in one hand and an empty Budweiser in the other, and Bud Moonshine was born.
As a proud West Virginia University alum, I cannot tell you how much I love that story, and I'm glad I finally know where Ad Bud Moonshine came from. That is tremendous, Dan. All right, Dan, go enjoy the day, and hopefully you get rid of the snow. I'm sure it's going to follow you there to New York, but enjoy some pizza and some playoff hockey.
All right, my friend. Have fun.
All right, I will try to do so. That is Dan Kingerski at Bud Moonshine. I've always wondered that. At Bud Moonshine, that's more interesting. I just give you the at my name 11, at my Gosti 11 for the double ones. But at Bud Moonshine, that's going to be unique. I hope he keeps that and never goes to at Dan Kingerski whenever he gets maybe too professional or legitimate out there. But that was Dan Kingerski of PittsburghPostgame.com. As you said, he will have, as he said, he will have some postgame shows after every game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Intriguing guess. It was a half real cough since I'm kind of under the weather here, trying to get through and power through this show. And also, you can go to PennsNewsShip.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. There's PittsburghPostgame.com for Dan, PittsburghSportsInitiative.com for us, and PennsNewsShip.com, where you can find the analysis, the entertainment, and the asinine fun, the articles, the series previews, the game previews, the game recaps, the series recaps. We're going to have maybe a post-game show of our own after the Stanley Cup playoff games we did the last few years. We'll try to bring some cough, intriguing guests of our own on as well. Maybe even bring Dan on again at Bud Moonshine. He can have a Budweiser and some West Virginia Moonshine while on the air with us. That'll make it even that much more fun. We are going to we'll play some tunes, and I'll give you my take on a couple things back after this. On Radio PI, here on the Pennsylvania Airways and the Pittsburgh Sports Initiative Airways, brought to you by Dr. Brent Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractic.
Come on. Ha, quicker than your average.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Figured we would give some play to Andrew WK, former guest here in the Pennsylvania Airways and Radio PI, and Party Hard is the goal song of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they've been seeing a lot of goals in recent weeks and recent games, especially that game against the Washington Capitals, four of them, including one in overtime, the game winner by none other than Sidney Crosby, continuing to break the hearts of Washington Capitals fans throughout a decade plus now of his career in the National Hockey League. And will they have the opportunity to do that again? Will they have the Crosby-Ovechkin Part 2 playoff series round 2, which would be round 2 of this Stanley Cup playoffs? They both would have to through one matchup, the Penguins matchup, probably more favorable to them than what the Capitals matchup could be to them based on the Capitals kind of lagging in recent weeks since claiming the President's Trophy, despite still going for Holtby's goals wins record. The Penguins riding so high on such an offensive surge, their star players playing so well finally, with the exception of Malkin while he's been out with an injury, and the Capitals going to play a team that is so hungry and has been so hot to get into the postseason in that 8 slot. So as Dan brought up, the Capitals got to get through that first-round series. That is no guarantee. We've seen in recent memory they have faltered when it thought they were going to guaranteeably go through a team in a first or second round matchup. Remember, Ovechkin has never been to the conference finals in his whole career, which is just outstanding to think of for a guy with over 500 career goals already at his young age. A year or so beneath, for crying out loud, and he already has 500 career NHL goals and a multiple-time MVP, scoring champion, everything except getting to at least the conference finals. You figure he got to do that. Last year seemed to be the year, but they got upset. It could happen again. Absolutely could happen again. If they get through it, though, that means they're going to have played well. they're going to have played Washington Capital hockey the way they did most of this year. Alexander Ovechkin's probably going to score some goals. Kolpe's going to stand his head in a few games, and they're going to get through that series. They then will get to the Penguins. You would figure if the Penguins get the job done as well in their first-round series, and then the Penguins also you would have figured are playing well, but maybe re-administering Malkin to the lineup. There might be some changes the Penguins are doing, the Capitals are not doing. The Capitals might actually have a better head-on going into that second-round series in terms of just keeping up the normal. The Penguins might be changing things. However, and it's even money. It is even money, as Dan said, despite how the regular season has gone. The Capitals are a much better team than they were in that previous series of Crosby, Ovechkin, Part 1. However, the thought that Evgeny Malkin's return, a elite star player in this league, one of, not the, before anyone gives me responses, one of the best players in the world, when 100% healthy, would return to a team that he previously has won the Stanley Cup for when he played the best hockey of his life in that Stanley Cup playoffs. A guy who, during Crosby's issues the past few years, was scoring goals and was leading this team. And a guy that can be a complimentary piece at the worst and one of the best players in the world at the best. A guy with size, a guy with tenacity, a guy with personality, a guy who's not going to take crap from anybody, and a guy who has the hands, hockey fortitude, hockey smart, and natural talent to take over a game by himself is going to make the Penguins worse when he returns because of chemistry, because of line. As Dan said, no matter what line you put Malkin on, he's going to take over that line. He's going to be the best player on that line, barring maybe putting him with Crosby. He's going to be able to get some time on the power play. He's going to be able to, if he gets set up for shots, connect on those shots and score goals. He's going to be help to this team. And even if he doesn't score goals, as nothing is guaranteed, we've seen Crosby and Malkin score goals in playoff series when they lost. His presence on the ice, that's a term that's used a lot for hockey players, great hockey players. Presence. His presence on the ice is going to dictate more energy and teams from the opposing team defense. They're going to have to key in on him more. Malkin will change the mentality of the opponent by just simply being on the ice and maybe only help you from the power play if he's playing poorly 5-on-5. But is that that bad? Is that going to hurt you? There's nothing that hurts you. Malkin, there's no lock that he's going to come out there and score a hat trick every night. That's almost unreasonable to expect. But he's one of the best players in the world. He played at a high level prior to the injury. Most rational people would figure he'd play at that high level again when he returns, especially with how well the Penguins are playing right now. To just add him and sprinkle him back onto that, they would keep clicking and everything would be fine. If, say, Kessel falls off when Malkin returns, well, that's still not even a hurt to the team because Malkin was playing so well before Kessel started playing well that you're almost swiping him out. It's almost a wash, and most likely than not, he would just add to it. Malkin returning is not a negative at all. It is 100% unequivocally asinine to think that it is. And I know you, common yinzers, if the Penguins lose in the first round, especially the second round, the conference finals, because of the offense, with Malkin having had returned already, it'll be blamed on Malkin if he doesn't score. I know it will. There's a lot of Malkin haters out there as the heel of the team for some reason. Not the most polarizing guy, that's always Flurry, but Malkin's the heel of the team. It wouldn't really be his fault, though. And even if it is and he plays awfully, you're not going to sit, as we speak, on April 8th, 2016, on this atrocious spring day because of the snow, and tell me that Evgeny Malkin returning is a negative. It's just not. He's one of the best players in the world. You want all of the best players in the world you can have. If one of them just absolutely sucks, you're not going to predict that. You're not going to figure that. You're not going to say, I don't want him because he might suck or because I figure he might suck. That just makes no sense, and that's not how anybody's going to think of it going into the postseason. Kessel's finally playing well. Kessel's finally playing well when they need him to play well the most, which is why they brought him over here as a security blanket for Malkin to add another piece to that big three, give more to the offense, and more of the punch of this team. finally getting that from Kessel. Crosby playing like the Sidney Crosby that he used to be. Sidney Crosby playing like the best player in the world. Sidney Crosby playing like a player who's vying for an MVP award, even though no one's really putting him in the conversation for that. Chris Letang is having a Norv Trophy type of season. Probably up individual seasons should get that award, but will not because of doubt, which is okay. But Chris Letang having a great year. Fleury was having a great year. They're getting enough for Murray. I mean, Fleury's going to be the guy, but they're getting enough for Murray. This team is whole, with the exception of Malkin. And when you get Malkin back, which I'm assuming is going to be at the end, if not the beginning of the second round, because I'm figuring they're going to go through this first-round matchup six games at the most. Nothing is assured, but you don't want to be going into a seven-game series with anyone you play in the first round if you're thinking about a long Stanley Cup playoffs run, because the Capitals can give you that example from recent memory. If you do that too much, eventually teams will catch up to you, eventually they'll upset you, or you'll get through that first-round series in seven games and end up exhausted with your head down low in the second round, third round, etc., and it'll catch up to you if you even get to the third round. Capitals have also had that issue, so I can keep poking at the Capitals after the Penguins got the win over them during this broadcast. The e-commerce just does not scare me at all. The Penguins are an incredibly dangerous team with the stars in that roster finally playing like it, especially offensively. That Penguin team would not surprise me at all if they went to the conference. Not one bit would they be a surprise. I don't think to anybody who knows hockey would they be a surprise if they go through the conference. The Capitals would be that bugaboo. And if they get by the Capitals, who they played relatively well against, if not more so, it's even bet probably for that series, they'd be fine moving forward. The Capitals are stacked across the board. They got all the attributes you want in a Stanley Cup pick, but they have the playoff failures to add on to that. So will they revert to the ugly capital disappointment of the past, or finally turn it around and make that conference finals, if not Stanley Cup finals appearance for Alexander Ovechkin in his Hall of Fame career? But you're looking at the conference here. You're looking at the teams in the postseason. Detroit, who the playoff streak seems to be alive. Undertaker lost to WrestleMania before the Red Wings were not a postseason team. However, Datsyuk's not been fully healthy most of the year. Zetterberg's not played what he was supposed to be. They haven't been able to really solidify a starting goaltender. It's just been a roller coaster ride for the Red Wings, crawling into the postseason yet again like they have the last couple of years. They might get through a round or two, probably not even getting through a round, but if they do, depending on the matchup, say Tampa Bay might be a favorable matchup to them. They split the season series. But if they don't face Tampa Bay, if they face anybody else, they probably won't get through the first round. If they face the Lightning, they might get through it with Stamkos' injury. But not much beyond that. They'd be very favorable to most of the teams in the East. This is not the early 2000s, mid-2000s or 90s Red Wing teams. This is not your older brother's Red Wings. Florida Panthers have the talent there. They have the young, sensational talent there with Jaromír Jágr and Pavel Luongo, who are turning back the clock and still able to lead a team to the postseason. You got to figure, though, that age might catch up to them in terms of being too young and too deer in headlights. Jágr and Luongo wouldn't be for the postseason, and they may instill that on the young players and Barkov, et cetera, that, hey, this is one game at a time, calm down, all of that. But maybe they won't. They can listen, take it in, and doesn't mean it's going to happen on the ice. Doesn't mean they're going to use it on the ice. Florida Panthers feels like, to me, it's the eight-old adage in sports. It's a lose-before-you-can-win thing with them. Maybe a round or two. I doubt it. Wouldn't surprise me, though, if this is the year they get through the conference finals, because of how wide open it is, but I'm not going to predict that they do it. Boston, Philly, those teams got to secure even get in the playoffs. Washington, they could lose to anybody, although they can beat anybody. That's how good they are. They can absolutely beat anybody, but it wouldn't surprise me if they lost to anybody either. The Islanders, Rangers. Lundqvist can carry the Rangers. He basically carried them to a cup finals once. The Islanders just seem too brittle, seem too weak overall. They don't have the offensive punch. I can't see them. And out in the West, Dallas, Josh Joey told us on a show in the past here, doesn't have they don't play the playoff hockey. They don't have the size. They don't play like a playoff team that goes through a Stanley Cup playoffs run would play, despite 107 points in the regular season. St. Louis, Minnesota, Anaheim, with the exception of the year 2007, San Jose, all have consistently disappointed in the postseason when they've been at their best in the regular season. St. Louis has been doing it for almost 30 years now. Chicago obviously has a dynasty of the last few years with three cups in the past five so years. They could easily be the team that comes out of there again, almost by default, kind of like the New England Patriots did in the Super Bowl in the year 2011, just off default coming out for the conference. And the L.A. Kings, who Dan mentioned. The L.A. Kings are dangerous, too. They can get their third cup in the same time span. They did it once as an 8 seed. They did it as a higher seed later. They're just uber-talented with Anze Kopitar and Jonathan Quick and company. Andrew Dowdy, who's probably finally going to win his Norris Trophy for his career. When in doubt, pick the Kings or Blackhawks, and you've probably got a safe bet that first-round matchup for the Blackhawks seemingly right in their wheelhouse if it is St. Louis. Penguins riding higher than ever on an offensive surge going into the postseason with home ice advantage in the first round. They are a dangerous team. I doubt anybody does want to play them. They do have some vulnerabilities, though. Malkin returning is not going to be a negative for this team. Anyone who thinks Malkin returning will be a negative for this team is just asinine and wrong. And if this team plays like they've been the last month and a half, and there is no guarantee they will, but if I will repeat myself before I go off the airwaves here. If the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I'm usually very pessimistic, but if the Pittsburgh Penguins play like they've been over the last month and a half, with Crosby playing like he's one of the best players in the world, with Kessel scoring goals and becoming a snipe shot, with Chris Letang playing like he should win the Norris Trophy, with getting enough, whether it be Fleury or Murray, from the goaltending position, not asking you to stand on your head every single night, but with the other stars and forwards and defensemen on this team playing well, getting enough from goaltending, which is how other recent champions have won the cup, getting enough from goaltending with the rest of the team being so good around them. The Penguins have this offensive surge and play like the way they've been the last month and a half and get enough from the goaltending. They could absolutely reach the Stanley Cup Finals, and once they do, they could lift the cup easily. The West is wide open, and if the Blackhawks and Kings are not the representative, I would favor the Penguins in a cup final. And I don't see anybody besides the Capitals who legitimately should be beating the Penguins in a postseason series from the Eastern Conference. I'm usually glass half empty. I like to be a naysayer. I like to be negative and pessimistic. I really can't do it now with what I've seen and with the talent on that roster. I just am not scared of anybody else in the Eastern Conference and really not many teams in the Western Conference. It is wide open across the board in both conferences, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are very, very dangerous and one of the favorites, if not the favorite, based on the talent of that roster and how they're playing right now, which is important to lift the Stanley Cup. So mark my words on that, as it will probably not come true at all, and I will then be the jinx. This has been another gold-quality broadcast here at Radio PI on the Pens Initiative and Pittsburgh Sports Initiative airwaves. Thank you to my guest, Dan Kangurski, and once again, a happy birthday to him as he turned the number 40. I didn't get to go to the birthday at CNN Mercado in downtown Pittsburgh and drink some bourbon with him, but I found out where Bud Moonshine came from, the inception of @BudMoonshine, which is his Twitter handle. That was glorious. Gave him a happy birthday here on the air. Give him one in person after he comes back from that first-round series, having some pizza, drinking some moonshine or some whiskey bourbon, as I know he likes to sip, and watching some playoff hockey. If nothing else, we could say this every year, if nothing else, Stanley Cup playoffs are entertaining, and I also say this every year to some hockey-hating friends of mine or hockey haters out there. I'm Mr. Versatile. I love all sports, especially the team sports, even going into golf, and I don't know if I'm going to venture to tennis and some of those, but I can watch anything of basketball, hockey, baseball, football. I'm watching the Masters right now as I'm speaking on the air. I'm versatile. I know everything. I'm all-knowing. That's why I'm a genius. That's why I profess that. As I say that kind of sarcastically, we can laugh at that. But no, I'm Mr. Versatile. I like everything. Not everybody does. That's your cup of tea. You don't have to. But anybody who doesn't like hockey, anybody who's not interested in hockey normally, who hates on it, I just ask you as a request, not even a command, and I'll be serious right now. I ask you as a request to watch a Stanley Cup playoff game. Give me 5-10 minutes of it. It'll be so entertaining that I bet you you'll keep on watching for 5-10 more minutes. And I'm not saying you're going to be a fan who's going to follow these teams through the regular season and the grind of the regular season. You probably won't. But if nothing else, watch a Stanley Cup playoff game. Those games might not finish 4-3 like the regular season game did between the Caps and Penguins, but it'll be just as entertaining with those goaltenders standing on their heads, save after save, highlight after highlight. That's what you get from the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not everybody likes hockey. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. I may like everything, but that's me. That does not mean it's you. Fine. A lot of hockey people hate basketball. I'm a basketball fan. I know hockey. I also know basketball. I love basketball. I have a lot of basketball coverage on the resume in terms of broadcast, maybe even more so than hockey, really. So I know a lot about hockey, love watching hockey, know a lot of basketball, love watching basketball. Usually that doesn't mix. Usually the basketball people hate hockey and the hockey people hate basketball. I don't know why that's become a rivalry. Pretty much the case. Everybody loves football. Baseball is American pastimes, but kind of on the other end of that argument. But if you do hate hockey, whether you're a basketball guy hating hockey for asinine reasons or just a hockey hater in general, watch a Stanley Cup playoff game and tell me you're not entertained. Okay. I'll close you with that.
And this is my impression of a person having a phone conversation in the elevator.
What? Yeah, no, I'm in the elevator. The elevator! Yeah! Anyway, I bundled our home and auto insurance through Progressive. No, bundled! We're gonna save big bucks now. No, bucks! Bucks!
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Hello? Hello? She hung up.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.